Just kidding. Bismillah. Inna alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Ma ba'd. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. This is a live broadcast now, but when you hear it online, you'll be listening to a pre-recorded, so we'll call it almost live, all the way from Santa Clara, California. This is your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain. And for the next few minutes, we want to deal with some Q&A, questions and answers, regarding the subject of da'wah, or inviting people to the correct belief in La ilaha illallah. There's only one God to worship, Allah. We've got some questions here. And ordinarily, I give a little short talk while you get your questions together, but you guys are doing a pretty good job, so I've got questions laying here. I'll just get started, inshallah. How do you explain the idea of salvation in Islam to Christians? And this actually is taking several other questions all at the same time, so let me put it all together. There's one who says that I tried to talk to the people about Allah, and they said, if you just believe Jesus died for your sins, then your salvation is done. Also, there's a question here asking, there's always the question asking, how do I give a good image of Islam to non-Muslims? Another question that usually comes up is about how can you deal with the arguments that you get from other religions. Let me begin at the beginning. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam, rasulullah, Allahu alam. Allah has all the knowledge. We don't have any knowledge except what He gives us. That's on loan to us, and He takes it back. So, the first thing that I recall, the sheikh who taught me a lot of what I know, I should have said what little bit I know, is that Islam is not against arguing if it's a rational argument in a positive manner. But what Islam is not going to tolerate is irrational arguments for the sake of argument, for ikhtilaf. The point behind a good argument is to help both sides come to a better understanding of what they're talking about. I find myself, and I don't know about you, but I find myself many times when I'm discussing something with my own children, with my own family, my wife, and so on, we're talking about something. Actually, I thought I knew what I was talking about until I listened to what they said, and I realized, yeah, I got a better understanding of what I was saying. How many of you ever been in the role of a teacher? You taught your own children or somebody's children something, or you did anything with teaching. Did you ever notice when you're teaching something, you're learning more than if you were if you signed up at any course, you will never learn as much as if you try to teach it. So obviously, there's a good side to rational argument, but it has to be rational. And the problem you're going to get into when you start talking about religion with people is they become irrational. That's the problem. If a Shiite is talking to a Sufi, as long as they're being rational, they're okay. But the minute they become irrational and deal with things that are not attestable from evidences, then they're going to wind up in an argument that's not going to go anywhere. If a Christian and a Jew get in an argument, or a Protestant and a Catholic, anybody starts arguing from the standpoint of irrationality, they're not going to go anywhere. Let me give you an example. When I first got to Islam, I had made a lot of da'wah as a Christian preacher. I used to travel Texas, Mexico, go everywhere. Kind of like I do now, I guess. And there was one man I had real high hopes of converting him, even though I had not yet made my own shahada. But I knew Islam was right, but I didn't know how to do my shahada. But I was kind of telling him. And he was in business in a business venture with me. And every time I'd pass through his city, I'd stop off and we'd discuss religion. And I got him excited about religion, got him excited about thinking about who is God, what is God, like that, and what is my responsibility. And he went from a person who's doing alcohol and women and all this kind of stuff, and now all of a sudden he wants to be a good guy. And I was happy. But I didn't go through that area for a while. Then I made my shahada, alhamdulillah, I was learning how to do salah. And I passed through his village and I stopped there. When I went in, he wasn't there, but his wife was. And I said, "Where's your husband?" And she said, "Oh, he's at the church." I said, "Whoa, well, that's good." She said, "Yeah, he became a preacher." I said, "Huh?" I went on down to Mexico, and when I came back up, I stopped in his place again. It was in San Antonio, Texas. I stopped there again. I said, "Where's your husband?" She says, "He's in the back," and he came out wearing a suit. I looked at him. I said, "What's going on?" He said, "I'm a preacher now." I said, "You know, I'm real happy for you to, you know, accept that there is a God and worship the Lord and everything, but how did you elevate up to a preacher that quick?" He said, "Well, you know, this is God's will." I said, "Yeah, all right, whatever." So we began to talk, and we started to have a discussion about what we believe, because that's what you do. That is in your da'wah, to talk about what we believe. You can't avoid that. In fact, if you're trying to avoid that, then you're not giving them da'wah to Allah. As we were going along, I was showing him passages out of the Bible that disproved the things that he was saying. I didn't go to the Quran. It wouldn't have helped me anyway because I didn't know the Quran. I hadn't even read it yet. I was still in like Baqarah. But I knew the Bible well enough to tell him, "Well, this stuff you're saying about, you know, speaking in tongues, rolling on the ground, healing people with magic, all this kind of stuff is not supported, because those passages, there's only one actually, it's in the book of Mark, and it's a fabrication that was added later, according to the scholars." And I started talking about the Bible, and I'm trying to have a rational argument. But then he said, "You know, I really don't use the Bible anyway." I said, "Huh?" Because I'm thinking, if you're going to be a preacher, you go to seminary school, you know, you study the Bible, you know. He said, "I don't use the Bible." I said, "Then how do you, excuse me, but how do you preach?" He said, "The Lord speaks to me in my heart and I know what to do." I said, "Okay. So you don't need the Bible." He said, "The Bible is nothing for me. I've got the Lord." How will you argue with that one? Huh? I went, "I give up." And I left. I didn't know what to do. I was very frustrated. Later, after I got in Islam, really, and studied the Aqidah, I was sitting with a sheikh who knows a lot about the subject, and I asked him, "What do I do?" He said, "Well, what do you do with a Muslim who says he doesn't need the Quran anymore because he's getting direct revelation from God himself?" He said, "I just go to sleep at night. The prophet comes in a dream and tells me everything. What do you do with that guy?" And he'll tell you, "I saw the prophet in a dream. Therefore, it was real because the shaitan can't take the shape of the prophet. And the prophet came to me and he told me blah, 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 blah." What will you do? What will be your argument? The answer is, you don't have any argument. Can you follow this man? No. By the way, I got a question for you. How do you know that the one you saw was the Prophet Islam? Because the one told me just this year, he was telling that he saw the Prophet Islam in a dream, and he said it was Muhammad Islam, everything. He knew it was the Prophet. He said, but he was doing strange stuff. I said, like, and he started naming some of them. I'm going, whoa. He said, plus he had no beard. I went, what? I said, it wasn't the Prophet Islam. He said, no, but the hadith said the shaitan can't take your shape. I said, obviously that wasn't his shape, was it? Prophet Islam, we know from Ibn Hisham, isn't he the one who did all the seerah of the Prophet Islam? Mentioned that if you stood behind Rasul Islam, you could see his beard sticking out. It was so big and it was so long, huge beard. But anyway, how are you going to have a rational argument with an irrational person? How? Which way is this? Is that ever going to be down? Okay, then we can have a rational argument about direction, can't we? Which way is that? If it's east, west, north, south, then we're not going to say the opposite direction is the same thing, right? You follow what I'm saying? So there has to be some basis, a foundation to work off of. Otherwise, what are you going to do? You're just going to go in a circle. I want to have a discussion, but I can't have a rational discussion with an irrational person. That's why you have to have what we call in English a benchmark. A surveyor, when he goes out to measure land, always starts from a benchmark that doesn't move. And he starts from that point and measures from there in any direction, elevation, stadia, all the rest of it. He works from a benchmark, right? Okay. That in Arabic, you can call it furqan, criterion, a basis. And the basis of what we're going to deal with as Muslims is what? What's our foundation? Quran and Sunnah. Be sure you don't let anybody attack that because they're attacking your benchmark. If somebody comes to you and tries to get you to put aside hadith, that's a part of your criterion. If they try to get put aside explanation or the exegesis of the tafsir of Quran, that's a part of your benchmark. You can't set that aside. If you know the Prophet ﷺ said something about an ayah, that's not permissible for you to just toss that out and go, well, I don't need that. That's a part of the basis. So this basis has to be in place. But they're not going to accept that in the beginning, are they? So how do I get them started with that? Man, we're talking about salvation. I'm actually answering several questions here at the same time. That's going to take a little time for it. But I'm going to have a rational discussion with a person who wants to talk about salvation. What is salvation? I want to be saved, okay? From what? Fire, punishment, disaster in the next life, and here too, as a matter of fact, right? So how will I achieve that? I'll admit there's a God. He's in control of everything. What does he need from me? What does he want from me? What is it? Well, he has no need. Allah doesn't have desires like we do. He doesn't have to be fed. He doesn't have to go to sleep. But he has ordered us to do something. And there's a difference. Be sure you make this distinction. It's not Allah wants you or needs you to make worship to him. But rather, you need it. He gave it to you as an order. If you don't do it, you don't hurt Allah. But you hurt yourself. He said, "Wa ma khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun." Meaning that he only created a human being and a jinn for one purpose. That their ibadah, their worship has to be to Allah. It doesn't mean you have to sit in a masjid the rest of your life and do dhikr. But it does mean that your ibadah, your worship is only for Allah. Does that make sense? Okay, so you begin to talk to the people and you say, your book taught the same thing. That your worship is to God. They say, well, we just have to believe Jesus died for our sins. Did he? Where do you get that from? Is that really from Old Testament? Because Old Testament, Jesus attests to it in the New Testament. He said 100% of Old Testament is still in effect. And if anybody even breaks a single commandment, they're going to hell. That's what he said in Matthew 5:17. Think not I came to destroy the law and the prophets. Rather, I came to fulfill, and not until all things are accomplished shall a single dot, jot, iota, tittle, depending on which translation you got, be in any wise lessened. Whoever breaks the least commandment and teaches thus, he will be the least in the kingdom. Whoever keeps the commandments and teaches thus, he'll be the highest in the kingdom. And not unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees will you in any wise enter the kingdom of heaven. You can tell I've recited that one a bunch, right? So what I'm saying is that here is Jesus, peace be upon him, according to their book, saying that he is standing firm on the commandments. And the commandments are real clear. First commandment, thou shalt not have any other gods beside God. And then they'll say, well, Jesus was God. They know over the years they've run into that too many times. They realize they can't worship Jesus unless he's God. So now they have made him God. If that's true, then your Bible has a mistake. Did Jesus claim to be Son of Man? Yes or no? As a matter of fact, that's all he ever really claimed. He never claimed to be Son of God. Son of God is attributed to him by others, but never by himself. Did you know that? He called himself Son of Man, but they capitalized big S, big M. Well, that's great. There's no capital letters in Semitic languages. Is there any capital letters in Arabic, Hebrew, Aramaic? Okay, that's called a big California duh. For sure. I was in the other valley. You know, you have the Silicon Valley up here, Los Angeles, they got the Valley of Duh. Girls knew what I meant, didn't you? Oh. By the way, before I became silver, I used to be blonde. That's a California joke. One of the things, by the way, that I do with the people, I let them know I'm a human being. I do not try to condescend to people. I never tell them about my degrees. If you notice any of the paperwork, any of the publishing that they do about me, you never see my degrees on there. If anybody puts it there, it's not with my permission, because I have no reason to try to promote me. So when I'm talking to people, I don't try to condescend to them like a professor or like the president of the United States or like, you know, like somebody big shot. I'm just a human being like you. We're just getting through the life the best way we can. And by the way, hey, I heard a funny one the other day. And I tell them something comical, but of course always clean jokes. But the point is, I don't want them to think that Islam is something so weird or so far away from just being normal. We have fun. We have a good time. In fact, I never had as much fun before I was Muslim as I have since I've been Muslim. I laugh more now than I ever did before. And I'm happy. I'm very happy to be a Muslim. I still have problems. It didn't solve all my daily problems to become a Muslim, but it solved the big problem. And that's all we really needed anyway. I know what it's all about. Getting through the life a lot easier now. But still, you know, we all have difficulties. And when they realize that, and you're not trying to sell them anything, watch this. You come to me with the concept, I'm telling them, you come to me with the concept, all I got to do is say a magic words. A few magic words, according to this one. Just say, Jesus died for your sins and salvation is done. Whoa, that's it? Just say, here it is, Jesus died for your sins. Jesus died for your sins. Five words, and that's it? Everything's done? Whoa! What a great get-out-of-jail-free card that is in Monopoly. Just throw that. Can you imagine you get up to the, we call it the pearly gates, you know, to Jannah. The gates to Jannah. You walk up there, an angel standing there going, uh-uh, where are you going? You say, hold it. Jesus Christ gold card. Charge it up. They're going to see that themselves. That's preposterous. How do I go through my life, blah, 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 doing this, that, and so on, so on, so I don't even mention all the possibilities. Then all I got to do is just say, Jesus died for my sins. And that's it. That's it. Whoa. If that's true, if it's really true, hey, I'm the first one to go for that. Five words and that's it. Oh, yeah. But is that rational? What is the evidence for that? It's because you want it to be that way, isn't it? That's what makes it rational to you. You like it. Okay, that's great. That's like talking to a smoker about quitting smoking. You lay all the evidence out there. You know, it causes cancer. It causes birth defects. It causes cancer in non-smokers that are in the room with you. It's a waste of money. It's a drug. It's so and so and so and so and so. Yawn. And when you get done, he says, you got a light. Why? I don't care. He wants to smoke. And that's the bottom line. Until he doesn't want to smoke, you're wasting your time. Brother, it's haram. Nah, it's just makruh. Makruh is what, by the way? Allah hates it. Allah just hates it. And I'm trying to put a petition between me and Allah's hatred. Remember, taqwa, what we said yesterday? And so I said, oh, I just do stuff Allah hates. Huh? SubhanAllah. But he's going to continue to smoke as long as what? As long as he wants to. And these people are going to continue to believe this lie, Jesus died for their sins, as long as they want to. So I'm not going to get into that, and I'm not going to argue with your Bible said this, your Bible said that, but I'm wasting my time. What's going to happen? They're going to wind up in a big ikhtilaf argument, and we're going to go nowhere. Instead, let me tell you what I got. Every other religion tells you, if you become Hindu, if you become Buddhist, if you become Taoist, you know, Taoism, I think it's Taoism, they pronounce it like a D, right? And if you become a Jew, you become a Christian, every one of them promises you this is the only way to paradise, baby. Or at least it's a way, and we guarantee, join us, you're going. You are going to paradise. And our leaders, the grand whatever, the poobah of this thing, he's the highest that's going to be up there. This preacher, minister, leader, if you kiss his feet, you're going to the highest place in paradise, you know. Yeah, don't start. I'll tell them what to kiss. My foot. You forgot I was from Texas, didn't you? Anyhow, but if you come to Islam, we cannot promise you Jannah. We are a strange religion. If you enter Islam, we cannot promise you that just by coming into Islam and saying La ilaha illallah, those five words, we can't promise that's going to guarantee you Jannah. Because we don't know what's in your heart. We don't know if you really meant it. So we can't. But we can promise you one thing, anybody can go to hell. And as far as the leaders, our leaders, teachers, mullahs, muftis, imams, shuyukh, ulama, I'm sure I left that a lot of words out. All of them, and the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah is going to use them to start the fire of hell if they preached it and did not live it. Who is going to be starting the fire of hell? The munafiqeen of the so-called teachers of Islam. So we're the opposite of you guys. But I'll share something else with you. You guys claim that our religion is oppressive, especially to women. It's interesting, statistically, and nobody's denying it. Even the people not Muslim that hate Islam, they admit in their own newspapers, television articles, all the rest of it, they admit Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world today, and who is the number one people coming into the deen of Islam? For every single male, we have 7 females, and in the Netherlands, 10 females for every single man. And I did not make that up. I was sitting in a museum where they were giving a lecture in Malmo, Sweden, in the year 2000. I was supposed to give the lecture, but they said, no, we want somebody that's from our own language. So he gave it. In English. I never did figure that out, but anyway, I knew they didn't, what, you know what it was, don't you? They found out I was Muslim, and they didn't want me to give the talk. Which was fine, because I learned more from him than I could have ever said myself. He said, according to his own research, his own study, that there were so many women entering Islam, it was a phenomenon, and he did his paper on that. So he went to Norway, Sweden, his own country, Denmark, Holland, the Netherlands. He went all around and he interviewed those who would speak to him. Now, I'm quoting as much as I can remember from back then, 5 years ago. But he said, I interviewed these women that would speak to me and I asked them, why did you come into Islam? Now, these are different women speaking different languages in different countries. He said, with no exception, they all said the same exact words. Because Allah guided me. Then he repeated this statement. He said they all said the exact same thing in their various languages because Allah guided me. And then he said an amazing statement. He said, but I don't accept that. He said, because I'm a historian. I said, a what? A historian doesn't accept facts, evidences, proofs? I don't think that's why he didn't accept it. He didn't want to accept it because he didn't want to believe that that's true guidance. SubhanAllah. If you know that more women are coming into it, why? What is wrong with these crazy women that they want to go into this religion? And the fact is that anybody, and by the way, we have a lot of people, inmates in prisons, who come into Islam. A lot. We have a lot of African Americans come into Islam. A lot. In fact, what I have found around the world, the people that come into Islam the fastest are the people that are most oppressed by society. The people that have suffered the most at the hands of other human beings, but when they turned and looked for Allah, Allah brought them to this beautiful deen of Islam. I personally have seen that. But that wasn't the case of me. I've really never been oppressed till I became a Muslim. Have you read about what they did to me at Baltimore Airport? Drug me out of the plane. Did you read about that? Did you see what they did to me when I came back from Mexico? Whoa! One of the things the FBI asked me one time, they said, which kind of Muslim are you? I said, fat. They said, no, we mean, you know, which kind of Muslim are you? I said, what do you mean? I knew what they meant. They said, well, tell us, you know, and they were trying to suggest Aga Khan, Qadiani, Shiite, Sufi, down the list, blum, 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 Sunni, Hanafi, Maliki. I said, no. They said, well, what are you? I said, I'm a Christian Muslim. They said, what? I said, I was a Christian. I became a Muslim. So I must be a Christian Muslim. They said, oh, okay, write that down. So I now have my own tariqa, Estesia. I know I made somebody mad with that, but whatever. Don't try to win everybody. You know what I'm saying? You can't. You can't please all the people. In fact, who cares? If I did my best to please Allah, what does the hadith say? You know the hadith? I love this hadith. It helps me get through the life. Because sometimes people get mad at me. They say, we don't know, you said this, you said that, and blah, blah, blah. But the Prophet ﷺ told us, whoever tries to please the people at the expense of displeasing Allah, they've already displeased Allah. And he will make the people displeased with him. But whoever tries to please Allah, even at the expense of displeasing the people, then Allah is already pleased with them, and he will make the people pleased with him eventually. Alhamdulillah. So that's all I'm going to try to do. But if I feel, no matter how much you like the program, it's a big success, we had thousands of people come out, people made shahada, but if I feel in my heart I displeased Allah, do you know what? I can't sleep. But even if 10 people showed up, nobody made shahada, and you threw stuff at me, I don't care. If I know in my heart I did my best, Allah is pleased with it, I'm okay. Wallahi. If you can do that, inshallah you'll make it as a da'i. But if you can't, you know, if you're trying to please the people, then don't get in this. Don't do it. Because what's going to happen, you'll compromise the deen. And this is bid'ah. Wakulu bid'atin dalala. And you wind up in the fire, and I will be, none of us need that. Now, that is a great question, but I didn't give you the full answer. Because salvation in Islam is really not that complicated. You sin, you admit it to Allah only, you don't get up. Christians have this thing, I don't know if you know what this is. When they get born again, they get saved in the Lord, they get baptized. Now they want to tell everything they did. And they encourage you. Get up there on the stage, Baba, and tell them, I used to be a sinner, and the Lord saved me. Okay. I used to do X and Y and Z was so much fun, I did it again. You know what we got in Islam starts with a Z. It's not very good. And what I did with that lady, wait a minute, hold it, man. No, they do that. They really get up and start doing that. We don't do that. What you admit it only to Allah. And And there's a hadith that whenever Allah, when you repent to Allah, Allah makes kafara over it. He's covering what you did for you. And if you tell it to other people, then you've torn this covering
And so Allah is saying, how can I cover this for you? You exposed it. So salvation Islam comes by what? Knowing that you've sinned, regretting it, and then making tawbah, repenting to Allah and asking Allah to forgive you. Then making sincere effort never to do it again. It's a very simple process. Step one, step two, step three. And by the way, how many of you ever heard of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous? Huh? You heard about it? Don't they have a, what is it, 12-step? Or is it 12-step program? How come you know about that? No. Sorry, sister. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry, Astaghfirullah. May Allah cure you. No. She's going to kill me. But seriously, what is the first step that they have? You have to admit it. Isn't that true? But, of course, we don't have to admit to the people, but that's what they insist on. They say, I am an alcoholic. That's what they start with. That's what they start with because they know they can't get well if they don't admit that they're sick. If you don't admit you're sick, you're not going to go to the doctor, are you? That's the last thing you want to do, right? I'm not sick. I'm not going to the doctor. But I'm not sick. So that's the first thing. So salvation in Islam is being logical. It's being rational. And admitting you made a mistake. You go to Allah. You ask for forgiveness. He forgives you. And you don't need anybody in between you and Allah. Your book teaches you that. Our book teaches us that. If you still want somebody to make your sins, they're going to take all that for you, then you got to ask yourself some questions. Stop and think. Rational argument. Are we talking rational? Or you just want to... If it's not, I'm going to let you go, okay? You want to talk rational? Okay, here we go. First, according to your book, Jesus prayed real hard the night before all of this happened. In the Garden of Gethsemane, and I think it's in all four of the Gospels, but it's at least three of them, he's making this big dua, supplication to Allah, so much so that he's crying and he's begging and he's pleading, and it said that the sweat is coming down running heavy like blood. That's what it says in their book. And his words are, let this cup pass from me, but even so your will be done. That's an expression, means I don't want to drink out of the cup. It means I don't want to partake of what's going to happen. I don't want this to happen to me. That's exactly the meaning. I don't want this to happen to me, but I'll accept it if it's your will. And that's what Muslims say. Allah, I don't want this, but if it's your will, I'll accept it, right? That's similar to what we say. And here they're saying Jesus said that. Well, I don't have a problem with that. But you know what I got a problem with? Why didn't Allah accept his dua? Because if he won't accept the dua of this sinless, you're calling him sinless, you're calling him perfect human being, a son of a God, if he won't accept his dua, where am I going to be on Day of Judgment? If he backfired on him, where am I going to be? And according to your book, the last words from his mouth are not, hallelujah, hallelujah. The last words from his mouth are nothing about what a great plan of salvation. The last words of the one on the cross, according to your book, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Another translation may say, my Lord, why have you stranded me, left me alone? Why have you turned your back on me? God, why have you done this to me? That's the statement of the one on the cross. The perfect salvation should have been going, this is what we expected. This is the good deal for you guys. But no. My God, why have you forsaken me? And if he's going to forsake the perfect one, then how do you know he's not going to forsake you too? Or don't you want to have a rational discussion here? And he never called himself Son of God. And he never prayed to himself. And he never asked anybody to pray to himself. He said, I go to my God, my Lord and your Lord. And when you pray, pray like this, our Father. We don't say our Father, but everything else we can say. Our Lord in heaven, we can say that. Certainly we say, hallowed be thy name. We always say that. All of Allah's names are most sacred to us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's exactly what Islam means. No different. That's the word Islam. If you want a translation, God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Hello? Give us this day our rizq, our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses, astaghfirullah, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Another good thing that Muslims are supposed to do, forgive other people. Lead us not into temptation, because we know that Allah can lead us into temptation. Deliver us from evil, a'udhu billah. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What's wrong with that prayer except our Father? We don't like that. Other than that, I'll say it faster than he will. But where in there did you hear, I'm God, pray to me? Did you hear that? I didn't hear it. And that's in two places in the New Testament. The problem is, they're not reading their book. They're listening to their preachers tell them what the book says. And I've watched firsthand on the stage with these guys, holding the book in their hand, slapping the book, telling them, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. Where? I heard them misquote the Bible. I heard them call out verses that are not even there. Numbers that don't exist. Words that aren't there. And I ask them afterwards, where's that? It doesn't matter. The Spirit led me to say it. You okay? I think you got a bad spirit there. Salvation is mentioned clearly in the book of Hosea. One of the last of the prophets in the long list of the 39 books of the Old Testament. And it says in the book of Hosea chapter 13 verse 4, if I'm not making a mistake, it says there, I'm the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt in the house of bondage. You know no other God beside me. Beside me there is no Savior. Whoops. They said, yeah, but that's Jewish. Okay. And Jesus, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, according to your book, said every one of the commandments is the same. It's nothing new. The problem is Paul, who used to be a Yahudi, who was persecuting his statement in the Bible. I used to persecute them even unto death. He killed them. Who? The Sahabi, the companions of Jesus. He was a killer of them. Until he saw a blinding light on the road and hallelujah and all the rest of it. But anyway, if you want what you got, lakum dinukum waliyadin. I'm just telling you what we got. If you don't like it, that's okay. Really, it is okay. There are people that have to believe that. There are people that have to believe other things. I'm not here to change your belief. I'm here to deliver a message. Please get this in your mind. We are not here to have a debate. You're not winning a debate. I have debated with people in a fine way, a nice way, a good way, and never won, never got them to. But other people, I was messing up, I said the wrong things, and they still became Muslim anyway. I've had people walk up to me, and it happened in Mexico City. Well, lucky I went there one year, and it was late at night, 10 o'clock, and I'm trying to read Spanish to see what has pork in it, manteca. And I'm looking through everything, trying to make sure we don't, you know, buy some food to take to cook it up with our group, and subhanallah, a guy walks up to me, taps me on the shoulder, and he says he wants me to teach him Arabia, Arabia, teach me Arabia, I'll be Muslim. I said, what? You Muslim? Oh, yeah? Okay. What I need to do? Whoa. Alhamdulillah. He made shahada the next day. We sat with him, explained everything. What did he do first, by the way? Run to his wife and give her dawah. Immediately. He said, I know now I need to save my wife from the fire. I got to give her the message. I said, okay, that's it. Allah guides the people, not you. What you're asking Allah, let me be somebody to carry the message, bump into the people, hand them the CD, give them the tape, give them the website, give them a card with something on there. You got the stuff for Why Islam, Discover Islam, our websites, whatever. Do something, but don't make the mistake of not trying. All right, now let's go to the next one. I love that. That was a good series of questions. What I'm going to do right now, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this.